And we are up to Gimel Amud Aleph. Let's try to find it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, I believe 16 lines in the bottom. Two words before the end of the line. Umay Irya. I think that's what we're up to. The words Umay Irya. Crack the Gemara. Umay Irya the Tana Paitras. This is a new aspect to the Mishnah now. So first we took care of the order of the Arayas. We spent from the beginning of the Gemara till now to figure out why did the Mishnah list the Arayas in the order that it did. And it ended up that the Mishnah went with the closest relationships, but then went to the side, once it went on a tangent, once it had certain kinds of relationships, it continued with those kinds of relationships. Okay. So Frank the Gemara, my area, the Tony Pikris, listen to Isris. Why did it use the Lashon, they're absolved from the mitzvah of Yibum? It's worse than that. As we pointed out, when there's no mitzvah of Yibum, it's an erva. So it should say these 15 women are banned from having Yibum, and so are their tzaras. It's not just they're absolved. It is usur. It is an erva. Why don't we stress the stringency that's involved here, rather than just saying it's putter? Because the Gemara itana isris, had it used the word isris, havamina usur liyabim, I would have said that the isser is to do yibum, because that's an erva. Avo michlutz chotza. I would not have said that they are tied together. Harvey had a word that he used for this, that they are tied together. I wouldn't have tied them together. I would have said some women can have a choice of both, and some women need chalitza and can't have yibum because they are erva. Bitai, bas bitai, that's what I would have said. Usher means to do yibum. Because chalitza, I wouldn't say it's usher. What's wrong with doing chalitza? Right? So therefore, as the Gemara is going to speak out in a minute, there's no isser in doing chalitza. What's the isser? What are you violating? Yibum, you're violating an erva. So using the word asurais would have told us it is usher to do yibum. It would not have informed us that it's pater from chalitza. So therefore, it used the word paitreis, which means there is no mitzvah here, no yibum, no chalitza. Frek the Gemara, belisni asura lachloitz. Right? So write, asa to do yibum and chalitza. So I wouldn't make that mistake. Zok the Gemara, my covet. There's nothing wrong. How can I tell you it's asa to do chalitza? A person, if he want to, can have chalitza with any woman. It means nothing. It's a meaningless act. But he can't say the word asr to do chalitza. Right? So therefore, paitreis is the better way of expressing it. There is no mitzvah. There's nothing wrong in doing chalitza. Haraveira. But if it would have said isreis, it would have meant asr to do yibum. Maybe there's a mitzvah of chalitza. And you can't write the words asr to do chalitza because you can't write that. It's not true. At least that's what the Gemara thinks at this point. Zakhtar Ashi, second middle line. My yuyu the tani paitreis, the mashma p'turis hei, v'boi miyabim. Paitreis means you're absolved from the mitzvah, but not that it's prohibited. Listen, the isreis, the avadi asuris hei, they are definitely usher. Miachar, she'enim skukas liyibum. Once there is no bond to yibum, v'kaimim isre eshesach. So they are isre eshesach. The answer is, Hava mina isis liyibum, b'chalitza le'mishtama b'acha. I would not have known chalitza. Shein isir b'chalitza. There's nothing wrong with chalitza. V'hava mina mechlet chalta al-karkai. That he has to do chalitza. I would have said, you know, it's an erva. You can't do yibum. But chalitza can be done. Shein eishis ach mi'ab b'loi b'anam nifteres b'loi chalitza. I would have said, the Torah requires chalitza, even for one that you can't do yibum to. So therefore it says the word paitreis, which says there is no obligation. Isreis would have meant only chalitza, only yibum. In fact, the Gemara asks, so why can't you say isreis to do chalitza? So the Gemara answered, because there's nothing wrong in doing chalitza. In fact, the Gemara love aloy. Why can't I say there's something wrong in doing chalitza? Sometimes, if you tell a woman that she gets chalitza, they'll think they're allowed to have yibum. So Chazal would ban them from having chalitza. Granted, chalitza is not an illegal act, but it would be banned because of the fear that people will mix the two and say, if I can do chalitza, I can do yibum. So there's nothing wrong in saying it's usher to do yibum and it's usher to do chalitza. It's rabbinically forbidden to do chalitza. Why can't that be? Zakrashi, alama loy shayach, lashon iser, havadai shayach. You can explain the word usher to do chalitza. Granted, chalitza in itself is not a prohibited act. But shemato aymer chaletzes asul lemem misyavemes. Chalitza has the fear that it might lead to yibum. So the Mishnah could safely say chamesh esrei nashim oisroi sereseyem betzara sereseyem mina chalitza mina yibum. And you wouldn't say, what do you mean oisroi chalitza and chalitza? Yes, it's also to do chalitza because it might lead to yibum. So we're back to the question. Why are we saying pitrice that makes it sound it's not prohibited when this is definitely prohibited? So we should stress the prohibition involved. And the answer that you can't write prohibition for chalitza doesn't hold water. Because you could write prohibition for chalitza because chalitza can lead to yibum, so therefore we would prohibit it. And for the Gemara, a new answer. Now, I would like to explain this answer outside before we do this inside. Let's say a stranger, nothing, not related to Reuven at all, not his brother, not his, nobody, another person, marries Reuven's daughter. So Reuven marries his daughter off to a person, we'll name him Yosef. Not related to Reuven, he's not his brother, a stranger. And that person marries another wife as well. So Yosef, Mr. Yosef, has two wives. One of them is Reuven's daughter, and one of them is a different wife. Yosef passes away. There is absolutely no mitzvah of Yibum on Reuven. Reuven is not related to Yosef. Yosef had children, didn't have children. It makes no difference. Reuven has no mitzvah of Yibum. He would like to marry Yosef's other wife, who was the co-wife of his daughter. Now, this is not a place of Yibum. This is not his brother's wife. This is a woman that's totally unrelated to him. The husband was unrelated to him. The woman is unrelated to him. She happened to have been the co-wife with his daughter. Now, halacha is, he's allowed to marry her. The only time a person can't marry the co-wife of his daughter is if it's his brother's wife. Then there's an erva of being a brother's wife when there's no mitzvah of yibum. But if this is not his brother's wife, if this is a stranger's wife, and it's a co-wife of his daughter, it's mutter to marry her. There's no iser tsaras erva. Only when it's his brother's wife. I hope I'm explaining myself well enough. This iser, that a person's not allowed to marry the co-wife of his daughter, is when the co-wife of his daughter happens to be his brother's wife. And there's usually a mitzvah of yibum, because she's the co-wife of his daughter, the Torah removes the mitzvah of yibum. And once the Torah removes the mitzvah of yibum, it's his brother's wife. And he's not allowed to marry her. But let's say this is not a case of yibum. Let's say there's a strange man, meaning not related, totally different man, married to Reuven's daughter, and he has an other wife. And that man dies, and now Reuven would like to marry that person's other wife. Not yibum, just wants to marry her. There is no iser. Even though she was a co-wife of his daughter, there is nothing wrong with marrying her. There's no such iser called co-wife of daughter. The only time the Torah banned it was because there's no mitzvah of yibum. Once there's no mitzvah of yibum, therefore, it becomes his brother's wife that is prohibited. But if it's not his brother's wife, he's allowed to marry a tzaras erva. So therefore, we don't want to use the word ice rice, because had you used the word ice rice, it would have sounded that anybody that's an Erva's co-wife is prohibited for being an Erva's co-wife. New iser. Any woman that marries anybody and is also a co-wife with one of the Erva's can never marry that man. Reuven can never marry anybody that's a co-wife to any of his erevus. And that's not true. There's nothing wrong in marrying a co-wife to one of the erevus. It's only usher here because the mitzvah of Yibum was removed. So therefore the Mishnah says, Paitreis, because the Mishnah wants to tell me it is not prohibited to marry this woman because she is your charis erva. It's only prohibited because there's no mitzvah of Yibum. So the stress is, there's no mitzvah of Yibum. Let's read it inside. I hope I explained myself well. The Kivan, the Bamukkah mitzvah. I'm sorry? I can't hear you.
How come you're calling it Sarah's Erva? There's no Erva here. There's no, it's a son-in-law's, you know, co-wife.
That's an Erva. One of the women of his son-in-law is an Erva. Correct? One of his son-in-law's wives is his Erva, correct?
Yeah.
So this woman is a co-wife with an Erva.
But this isn't Yibum. We're not talking about Yibum. There's no Yibum going on here.
Again, Tsaras Erva. Again, I agree with you 100%. Tsaras Erva means co-wife of an Erva. It doesn't mention Yibum at all. Tsaras Erva, translate the words. Co-wife of an Erva. No mention at all about the mitzvah of Yibum. Not at all. In the case of the Mishnah, it was a Tsaras Erva in the case of Yibum. What if you have a case of Tsaras Erva, not in the case of Yibum?
Without you.
Then there's no Isra. There is no Isra called Tsaras Erva. The Isra is brother's wife when there's no Yibum. And therefore the Mishnah doesn't stress Usr, because Usr would have meant you can never marry a Tsaras Erva, and that is not true. You can marry a Tsaras Erva if she's not married to your brother. If a, like, let's say Reuven's sister marries somebody, right? And that person has a co-wife, and then that person dies. He can marry that co-wife, even though it's his sister's co-wife. There's no Isra of sister's co-wife. The Isra is, it's his brother's wife when there's no mitzvah of Yibum. Therefore, the Mishnah stresses that the point here is that there's no mitzvah of Yibum. Don't think that there's a ban called Tsaras Erva. There is not. Tsaras Erva is only prohibited because it happens to be your brother's wife and there's no mitzvah of Yibum in a case of Tsaras Erva. The engine, for lack of a better word, the driving thing here is there a mitzvah of Yibum or not? The consequence is that woman becomes usher as being a brother's wife. But it's not an Isra called Tsaras Erva. It's an Isra called brother's wife when there's no mitzvah of Yibum.
Am I ready?
Yes.
Okay. Does it make a difference if there was a divorce involved or a death involved?
For what purpose?
His brother dies.
Meaning, again.
If he divorces Tara, is that the same thing as death?
I don't understand the case. Brother, not brother, I'm not hearing details.
His son-in-law divorces the tsara of his daughter.
So he can marry her.
His brother-in-law.
Wait a second.
He can marry her.
I'm all confused. Is this a brother involved here or not? Is there Yibum here or not?
The son-in-law divorces his daughter's tsara.
So why can't he marry her?
That's what I'm asking. So divorce equals death.
There's no marriage. I don't care. Again, there's no Isser called Tsaras Erva. There's no such Isser.
So he can marry his father's ex-wife.
No, that's Ashes Aviv. That's a different Isser. That's an Erva.
Even if they're divorced.
Again,
or the father died.
If you look in Parshas Akri Mais, and it lists the Ervas, one of them is marrying a father's wife. That's an Erva on your own. Not because he's a Tsaras Erva. She is an Erva.
Right. Okay. Yes.
His son-in-law's wife is not an Erva.
That's right.
Her only problem is that she's a co-wife with an Erva. There is no such Isser of co-wife. unless there's a brother involved, and it's a question of Yibum, since he's a co-wife of an Erva, there's no mitzvah of Yibum. Consequence being, it's his brother's wife, which is an Erva. The Erva is not because she's a co-wife. The Erva is because she's his brother's wife. Now usually, there's a mitzvah of Yibum. Because she's a co-wife of an Erva, the Torah removed the mitzvah of Yibum. Hope I'm explaining myself well enough. Let's read it inside. Zok to Gemara. Kiven de b'makom mitzvah d'asira, tzara, it's only usher in the place of Yibum, which loy b'makom mitzvah sharya, but there's no mitzvah that's permitted, so therefore, tani paitreis. Therefore it says paitreis, because that's the key. There's no mitzvah of Yibum. That's why she's prohibited. Not because she's a tzara's erva. Eisreis would have misled us. Rashi. Kiven de b'makom mitzvah Yibum hu d'asira tzara's habas. Because mefarish v'masnisen. Like the Mishnah explains, the Mishapatra akasa mezikas Yibum. Since the Torah took away the bond of Yibum when there's a tzara's erva, kaimele be'eshes achkel b'yesh lebonim. So she's like a brother's wife who has children. There's no mitzvah of Yibum. Brother, this is what I tried to say the first day, and I'm going to repeat it myself a million times. I meant that as a guzma, right? A brother's wife is an erva. Unless there's a mitzvah, it reverts back to being an erva. There's no middle ground. Erva or mitzvah? Can't, there's no middle ground biblically. Erva or mitzvah? So, if there's no mitzvah, there's an erva. If there's a mitzvah, there's no erva. If you took away the mitzvah of Yibum, because she happens to be a co-wife of an erva, so she turns into an erva of being a brother's wife. Nachri here means a stranger, doesn't mean a guy. Who became a son-in-law. And he has a co-wife. Umeis. Muteres ishto l'chomav. His co-wife is muter to the father-in-law. It's not her father-in-law. Kedetnan, look, come on. Gabeshesh arayas chamuras me'elu b'masnisen. Like we will learn later on in the second Mishnah. The Mishnah will explain this. Shabachi tani poitras. The ikan oisres mashmeshi abas oisras all of likach. If it would said oisres, I would have thought the cause of the iser is because of the daughter. The kavachaymish like the malka mitzvah, I would say, wow, you can't marry Taras Abbas when there's Yibum, for sure when there's no Yibum. I will paitreis lemishtami isura mishim tzuras shabbas. By using the word paitreis, we're saying it's not usher because she's the daughter's co-wife. El Abbas petrasim Yibum. All the daughter does is remove the mitzvah of Yibum. The Torah says, when there's a daughter and erva involved, there's no mitzvah of Yibum. And once there's no mitzvah of Yibum, the Isura shachav ala mimela. So therefore, the Taras Abbas becomes Asur. It's like a brother who had children. It's not an Asur Isra of being a Taras Erva. It's an Isra of being a brother's wife. And there is no mitzvah here that removes Eishasach. See, every woman that's a brother's wife is an Erva. Unless there's a mitzvah of Yibum. Because this woman is a tzaras habas, there's no mitzvah of Yibum. Period. Once no mitzvah of Yibum, it's an erva. It's not the tzaras habas that made her an erva. What made her an erva is that she's his brother's wife, and there's no mitzvah of Yibum. Okay. So now the Gemara explained why we use the word paitreis and not the word eisreis. Frek the Gemara. Why do we have to mention chalitza? The main mitzvah is Yibum, right? The Mishnah will say clearly later on that the main mitzvah is Yibum. So if the main mitzvah is Yibum, just say, there's no mitzvah of Yibum. End of story. Why do you have to mention chalitza? Zok to Gemara, because itani, if it would only say menayibum, have I mean a mitzvah chalitza yibum lebiyabba? I wouldn't know that the two are intertwined, that one only is pertinent when the other one is possible. Kamash Malan, so the Mishnah is teaching me something that the Mishnah will say later on. So the Mishnah is trying to tell me they're intertwined. There is no obligation for chalitza when there's no possibility of yibum. And that's what the Mishnah wants to teach me right away at the beginning of the Masechta. These women are pater from chalitza and yibum. Meaning, don't think that there's no mitzvah of yibum, but why not do chalitza? The Mishnah, chalitza is only necessary when there's a possibility of yibum. You remove the possibility of yibum biblically, then there's no possibility of chalitza. Zakt Rashi. Belistim in ha-yibum l'chudei. That's the main mitzvah. B'chalitza me'mele mishtam, and I would understand chalitza. Something Gemara, not necessarily. Have I mean a mitzvah chalitza, mitzvah chalitza, shloi lavki a mitzvah yibum. I don't want totally to remove the mitzvah of yibum. Chalitza is an other way to keep yibum. I would have said the pasuk says no yibum, but that doesn't mean there's no bond. There's a bond that you can only remove with chalitza. Once the Torah removed the bond to yibum, that means there's no bond. Don't think there's a bond that can be removed one of two ways, and the Torah said in this case you can't remove it through yibum. No. A woman who's bound to have the possibility of yibum needs chalitza. If the Torah never bound her for needing yibum, for being allowed for yibum, there's no puturim in a chalitza. I will have multiple cases in this Pesachta where we say Chalitza and not Yibum, so we see they're not always bound together. Mishum Sveikahu. It always is because we don't know what to do. And because we don't know what to do, we say give Chalitza and that way you cover your bases. But Enochinami, if there's no mitzvah of Yibum, there's no mitzvah Chalitza. Sometimes we're stuck. We can't give Chayibum because of problem A, but we're not sure. So we say, give Chalitza, and you cover your bases. But Enochinami, biblically speaking, either there's a mitzvah of one, or there's no mitzvah of one, of the other. You can't separate the two. They are bound, they are one mitzvah, with two options. Can't do one, you can't do the other. Sometimes, you're not sure if there's a mitzvah. So what are you supposed to do? Do nothing? But there might be a mitzvah. The woman can't get married, unless she's released. Do yibum? It might be usher. In those cases, we say, do chalitza. That way, you cover your bases. But really, if there would be no mitzvah of yibum, there would be no mitzvah of chalitza.
Rabbi?
Yes.
Why the order? Why wouldn't you necessarily mention yibum first? Why chalitza first?
Frek the Gemara. Next question. The chalitza. Right? So why not say yibum first?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Exact question. If that's the main mitzvah, shouldn't it say there's no mitzvah of yibum and then add chalitza? Inami, or just say mina chalitza l'chudei. Just say you don't do chalitza and not understand that if there's no mitzvah of chalitza, there obviously is no mitzvah of yibum. Zog the Gemara, abishol hi da'amra mitzvah chalitza kedemes l'mitzvah yibum. This Mishnah is authored by Abishol. We talked about this. When it's better to do Yibum or Chalitza. And Abishol says it's better to do Chalitza. Therefore the Mishnah put Chalitza first to hint to the fact that that's our preference. Therefore the Mishnah says she's absolved from Chalitza and Yibum to hint that we would rather have Chalitza than Yibum. And therefore it puts Chalitza first. Zakt Rashi. Benisna yibum bereisha, the iker mitzvah. Doksev im lo yachbet se ish lekachas. The man doesn't want to do yibum b'chalza. Ha'im chavetz liyabim miyabim. The Torah seems to indicate that yibum is what we want. Al mitzvah yibum bereisha. Abishol hi beperik hachaylitz. Abishol is located in the fourth perik. Abishol aimer hakaynis yivem toy l'shum noy u'l'shum ishus. Somebody marries his Yavama because she's beautiful or because he wants a relationship with her, not because he wants to do the mitzvah. Kilu pegeya ve'erva. It's as if he lived with an erva. He didn't really live with an erva. V'karav eina, Elias Avlad Mamzer. To me, that child of that marriage is like, he's not a real mamzer, but it's, I don't know what word to use. It's a close to mamzer, meaning it's not what the Torah wants. That's what Rabbi Shaul says. And the Mishnah alludes to it by putting chalitza first. Now, if it only say chalitza, we wouldn't see it. Because then we wouldn't, you know, we just say, we pick one. But by saying chalitza and then yibum, it's stressing chalitza as the preferred one over yibum. That's what the Gemara seems to be saying.
Rabbi,
yes.
Why would Rabbi read this so as to reflect the opinion of Abba Shua? Is that because that is the prevalent opinion?
No.
Why do it in that order?
You're 100% right. See, this goes into the following school of thought. Again, I don't know if everybody agrees to what I'm going to say now. Rebbe didn't write Mishnayos necessarily, or all of them. He redacted, if that's the correct word. He took what used to happen before Rebbe was, different people taught in their yeshivas, their Mishnah, their opinion. Some mentioned other opinions as well, but Reb Meir had his Mishnayos, and Reb Yaisi had his Mishnayos, and Abba Shaul had his Mishnayos. If you learned in Abba Shaul's yeshiva, you listened to his Mishnayos. Rebbe, and this was not written down, Rebbe knew all those Mishnayos, and he picked different Mishnayos that he used as the base of his Mishnah, which he built upon and offered different opinions. So in this case, he picked Abba Shaul's Mishnah and put it into his Mishnayos. Why he did that, I'm not sure. Because it's a machlokes whether we pass like Abba Shaul or not. But he decided to use Abba Shaul's Mishnah as his base. And he built around that, rather than using the Rabbanon's Mishnah, which would have said it a different way. Now, why he decided to do that, I don't know. He must have had a reason. But Rebbe didn't write every Mishnah himself. He took other Mishnahs and built around them. I hope I'm trying to get a point across. So therefore, in this case, for whatever reason, he decided to use Abba Shaul's Mishnah as his base. I don't know why.
Okay, and my second question about this is, you may have alluded to this a few days ago, this idea that the fear of physical attraction will lead you to do even for wrong reasons. Not quite sure how to word this, but I would think that physical attraction might assist you in engaging in the mitzvah rather than encouraging you to. I always understood that physical attraction was a healthy part of a relationship. That to that risk going the other way, I will only perform yibum if I'm not physically attracted to her, might be more dangerous as far as the ensuing relationship.
You're right.
I'm
not disagreeing with you, but I think what Abba Shaul is saying is, if the person's drive has nothing to do with mitzvah, his drive is totally something else. It's playing with an erva. Meaning, let's say she wouldn't have been that attractive. She wouldn't have been ugly, but she wouldn't have been that attractive. Would he have done the mitzvah? Is a mitzvah a factor here? Or is this factor only because he's such a beautiful woman that he wants her as a wife? I think that's what Abba Shaul. I'm sorry?
But he's not talking about it. It doesn't sound to me like his rule is based on if it's only. It sounds like he's fearful that it might be the driving force. Therefore, it should be avoided or something like that. That he thinks that it might be a primary factor. I don't know if I'm. I could be way off.
Maybe we should wait later on when the Gemara discusses Abba Shaul more at length. But again.
All right.
I hear your point, but this is an erva. That's in every other marriage, we're not dealing with an erva. So we want husband and the wife to get along, and one of the factors of making a marriage work is that the woman is attractive to her husband. Chazal are very makbed that a woman be attractive to her husband. They don't want this yivama not to be attractive to her husband. They don't want the decision to be based on that premise. The decision is, I want to do a mitzvah. Now, I'd like to do a mitzvah. I don't want my wife to be unattractive. I want my wife to be attractive. But if my decision is, this woman is very attractive to me, thank God there's a mitzvah of Yibum, so now I'm allowed to marry her. I think that's what Abishol is concerned about. Again, I don't know exactly, but that's the way I understood him. Well, she's a very rich lady, right? A lot of people like money, and there's nothing wrong in wanting money. But the only reason I'm doing it is, thank God, I'm allowed to marry her, so now I can inherit my brother's wealth. Right? That's not why the Torah wants you to do Yibam. That's what Abishol says. Now, if it happens to be that you want to do the mitzvah, and it happens to be that she's wealthy, there's nothing wrong with benefiting of it. But that shouldn't be the factor of decision-making. That's what I think it is. Even though I will agree to you that it's easier to understand it with money than it is with attractiveness. Not the Gemara Vayter. Now we move on.
And according to Rabbanan, that's not a concern.
Rabbanan said, the Torah said, do Yibum. Don't worry about reasons. The Torah never said reasons. The Torah said, do Yibum. I mean, the Torah did give a reason for Yibum, but it didn't say you have to be pure of mind. It said, do Yibum. Abishol says, we're dealing with a very fine line here. This woman is an erva, and the Torah is allowing it because it's a mitzvah. And if you deviate from the mitzvah part of it, you're playing with fire. And the Rabbanan say the Torah allowed it. End of story. And this is going to be discussed. I think this is going to be discussed later on. So probably we should leave it for later on. Yes.
She's no longer an erva at this point.
Again, I mean,
is that true? Can I say that?
Yes. She's no longer an erva because there's a mitzvah. Abishol says if you don't do the mitzvah right, you're playing with a woman that's really an erva. She's not an erva. You're not going to get chorus for this. But you're dealing with it. Well, you're playing with fire. This is fire. The Torah allowed you to go through the fire in a legal way. If you deviate, you're playing with fire. And the Rabbanan say, like you said, it's not an erva. None of your business now. Now it's nobody's. The Torah said it's okay. I think we should leave this for Lama Tess, where the Gemara discusses it at length.
And one more thing, I'm jumping the gun. She's an erva to every other man, though.
That's not a fair statement. There would be no chorus if she lived with another man. It'd be a lav. So I don't know if you call that an erva. It's not an erva. That she has to be released. She's not an Ashes Ish. The Torah put a bond there that doesn't allow her to get married until she's released from the Ibum, from the Avam. If she doesn't wait for that, she violates a lav. I'm not belittling lav. But when we use the term erva, we usually discuss creases or worse.
Okay.
A man marrying a kohen is not an erva. Okay. Yes. Avram, you had a question?
Rabbi?
Yes.
Yeah. So it says in the Torah, you should put a mica in your house, right?
Uh-huh.
So okay.
Correct.
So my person's wife says, you know what, I want you to put a fence because it'll enhance our home, right? That's why you're doing it. Are you getting the mitzvah?
Yes. Because last time I checked, there's no erva involved here. There's nothing prohibited involved here.
No. I'm talking about kavana. The kavana I have to put the thing is has nothing to do with falling down. Is to do with, I'm doing it because if not, my wife won't give me supper for 2 weeks.
Again, I don't know how much chai you would get. I don't know what counts upstairs. But you did fulfill the mitzvah of Malka, yes. You no longer have an obligation.
It's only Tali in Irva.
It's only Tali because there's a prohibited side here. Let me use another example, and it's not a good example, and I don't mean the example, just trying to prove my point. A person is a chayla, she has b'sakana, and the only refuah for him is to eat a piece of pig. He is totally permitted to eat that piece of pig. What if he eats it and loves it and enjoys it? What would you say to that person?
You can do it.
But what would you think about a person that's doing it, but is doing it with a gusto of enjoyment? Finally, I can eat my bacon.
I mean, I don't know.
Tell me what you honestly would think about that person. I know you're a tzaddik, but even in your tzaddik, if you saw wouldn't you say, he didn't do anything wrong, but he's playing with fire? Wouldn't you say that? Wouldn't you say it's not something that, now this is not to say, because Harvey was right. We don't want a person to live with a woman and hate the fact that he lives with a woman. The guy that eats bacon shouldn't be enjoying his bacon at all. There's nothing wrong in a person having a wife that he likes to be with. All Abishol is saying is, the overriding drive has to be the fact that he wants to do the mitzvah. Then after, everything else can come into play. But if his overriding right is because he enjoys a beautiful woman, he shouldn't be doing evil. That's all. Because remember, this is playing with a woman. It's like eating bacon. Again, it's not the same exactly. I said it's not a good example. And by the way, the guy that's a chayil shesh b'sakana should eat the bacon even if he enjoys it. Should eat the bacon even if he enjoys it. Yes. Okay. Frak the Gemara. Minyana de reisha lemutimai, minyana de sefer lemutimai. Now we can count. And the Mishnah twice decided to tell us the number. At the beginning it said, Hamesh esrei nashim, poitras sarasayim, v'tzara sarasayim. Now, we went to school and we know how to count to 15. Why did the Mishnah have to give us the number? And then, at the end, the Mishnah says, right, Hari Elu. Why did it have to repeat that? Right? Mashmah, these are not something else. You could have just said, these are the Erevus, period. Not giving you a number, and not summed it up to say, these are the ones. What we said at the beginning, these are the ones. Why are you repeating it? Zok Rashi, Miyana Deresha, the Mashmah Tesva Vesuloi. It seems to indicate only 15 and not any more. Miyana de Seva, Hareilu Paitras, the Mashmah Eilu Vesuloi. Now, who is being left out that you would have think is included? The Mishnah is telling me 15, not 16. Hari Elu, and not something else. That means there's two things here that are being excluded. What are the two things that are being excluded? Amphit the Gemara, Lemute, somebody should mute themselves, please. Please mute yourself. Lemute, the Rav, the Ravasi. There are two cases that we will have in the Gemara, where it says that other women are pater from chalitza yibum, and one of them is the following: Shimon married a woman, no erva to Reuven. He married two women. Strange, nothing to do with. They happened to be Reuven is Shimon's brother, and Shimon married two women, and one of them was Mizana. And when she's Mizana, she becomes prohibited to her husband. That's the halacha. She is a saita, but not a saita that we don't know what happened, that we take her to drink. She's a saita that we know what happened. She was Mizana while she was an Eishes Ish. Shimon's wife was Mizana. And then Shimon died before he divorced her. So now two people are falling to Yibum. One of them is the woman that was Mizana. And one of them is the co-wife of the woman that was Mizana. So Rav says that there's no mitzvah of chalitza or yibum by either of the two. Let me just check to make sure I'm quoting it right. I'm sorry. He says there's no mitzvah, no allowance of Yibum. No, Rav says, I'm taking it back. Rav says they're both pater from Yibum and Chalitza. And he learns it out from a pasuk. So according to Rav, there's that 16th case that could have been mentioned in the Mishnah. And that is a woman who was a woman that's a co-wife, or the woman that was Mizana. And the Torah removed the mitzvah of Chalitza and Yibum from her. And it's learned out from a pasuk. Learned out from a pasuk. Our Mishnah says 15 to tell me, not like Rav. The Mishnah is telling us 15, not 16. Meaning there's a 16th case out there that you might think like Rav. You might make the drasha that Rav is going to make. And therefore we say, no, that is not a case of Chalitza, that does not absolve from Chalitza Yibum, and there's a mitzvah of Yibum or Chalitza on the co-wife, and she's not absolved. Now, can you marry that woman? That's going to be a discussion in the Gemara. If you don't hold like Rav, can you do Yibum to the woman that was Mizana? We'll leave that alone for now. But you definitely have a mitzvah of Yibum or Chalitza to the other wife. Whereas Rav said, there's no mitzvah at all. The Mishnah says a number to exclude that case. That is one exclusion. The second exclusion is Rav Asi's halacha. Rav Asi says, let's say a person, Shimon, married two wives. One of them was an islandess, and Shimon knew she was an islandess. Shimon knew she was an islandess, and said, I'm marrying her anyway. There's no isser to marry an islandess. As long as the person has children, is Makai the Mitzvah Pru or Vu, there's nothing wrong in marrying an islandess. Now, an islandess is a Mekach Tos, because most people will marry women that can have children. This guy knew this woman cannot have children. She told him up front, I am an islandess. And he said, I love you anyway. I'm marrying you anyway. Then Shimon died, and he left over one wife that's an islandess and one wife that's not an islandess. So Rav Asi says, he learns it from Sukkim, that there's no mitzvah of Yibum or Chalitza for any of the two. Our Mishnah writes Hare Elu to exclude that. No, that there is a mitzvah of Yibum or Chalitza, not to the islandess, but to the other wife. So this is the two exclusions in the Mishnah. Our Mishnah is trying to tell me, we don't agree to Rav, and we don't agree to Rav Asi. One exclusion is to tell me, we don't agree to Rav that says that a woman that's Mizana absolves her co-wife from having mitzvah chalitza of Yibum. And remember, this is not an erva. Reuven's not related to any of these women. It's Shimon's two wives. One of them happened to have done a terrible thing. She was Mizana. So Rav dashes from a pasuk that if Ruth Shimon dies before he divorced this lady, after he divorced her, it's over. But before he divorced this lady, she is now, both of these women have no mitzvah of Yibum or Chalitza. Our Mishnah is telling me, I'm sorry, we don't agree to Rav. The other one is Rav Asi, a man who's married an islandess knowingly and to a different woman. And he died. Rav Asi says, just like there's no mitzvah of Yibum Chalitza to an islandess, and that's a Mefarish Pasuk in the Torah, we will see that. So also, the co-wife is pater. Zakhtar Mishnah, that is not true. Only 15 cases do we absolve the co-wife. Not Rav's case, and not Rav Asi's case. Rashi. The Rav and the Rav Asi. The Amar Rav, Tzara Saita Asura. Rav said, the tzara of a woman that was Mizana is prohibited, and she's pater from Shemzinza Ishtai, if a person's wife was Mizana, Beloy Isha Acheres, and he had another wife, Umeis Beloy Banim, and then he died without any children, Shteyem Pturais, they're both pater. Rabasi Amar, that was Rav's case. Rabasi Amar, Tzaras Islandess Asura. He says that the co-wife of an islandess is prohibited from Yibum and doesn't need Chalitza. Shemaynasri islandess. Person was married to an islandess, not as a mistake. He knew, he didn't care, he married this islandess. It's a perfectly legitimate marriage. She is an Eishes Ish. There's nothing wrong with that. V'isha Cheres, then he has a wife. Umeis b'loivanim, shteyem p'turais, b'tavayu b'pirkin, both will be later in the Perek. So by writing the number, the Mishnah is saying, we don't agree to Rav, and we don't agree to Ravasi. Now, the Mishnah didn't necessarily know Rav by name and Ravasi by name. It meant we don't agree to the case of Rav, and we don't agree to the case of Ravasi. Yes.
In the case of Rav, is the Sota Chayiv Misa?
That's nothing to do with this. She had no Hasra. It makes no difference. The bottom line is, the husband died while he was still married to her. Let's say she has Chayiv Misa. We didn't carry it out yet. All we know is, Shimon had a heart attack when he heard his wife was Mazana. When two Edom came in Bezin and said to Shimon, your wife was Mazana, he had a heart attack and died. And he had no children. Now Reuven has a question. Can I do Yibum? Do I have a mitzvah of Yibum to Shimon's other wives? Or Chalitza? Rav says no. Our Mishnah is saying yes.
Okay.
Our Mishnah, by writing the number 15, is saying, only 15, don't give me a 16th. And by writing the word Hari Elu, the Mishnah is saying, and don't give me another 16th. Each one excludes one. Now, why can't one exclude both? I don't know. Why can't the number 15 exclude both Rav and Ravasi? I don't know. I think each one gets their own exclusion. I'm not sure why. Tysus asked the question. Why can't we exclude both? And Tysus gives an answer because of there wouldn't be tsara here. I'm not sure exactly. I'm going to have to figure out what Tysus says. I'm not going to go through it now. I didn't notice it before. But we use one exclusion for one and one exclusion for the other. Frag the Gemara. So that's great if you don't agree to Rav and you don't agree to Ravasi. So then you say the Mishnah is excluding them. But Rav also read the Mishnah. And Ravasi also read the Mishnah. And they must have had a reason why the Mishnah used the number. Right? So what does Rav do with the numbers? What does Ravasi do with the fact that the Mishnah has two exclusions? Now the truth is, they don't necessarily agree to each other. Rav might use one exclusion for Ravasi, and Ravasi might use one exclusion for Rav. So really, each one is only stuck with one. But they might agree to each other, and that each one needs two. Meaning, we don't know whether they agree to each other or not. We could answer that one of them, Rav, holds that one of them is to exclude Ravasi, and Ravasi holds one of them is to exclude Rav. And then we would be good to go. We would have to find one more. But they might agree to each other, the Gemara says. And since they might agree to each other, we have to find two more things to exclude. Two more things have to be excluded. So what are we excluding? Look, the Gemara, Chodo Isvirlu Ladadi. If they agree to each other, so then I have to find two. As the Gemara will explain in two lines from now, that if they don't agree to each other, then I don't have to find two, then I only have to find one. So which two do I find? Now the next two are different than the other cases. The next two can't have Yibum, but need Chalitza. And the Mishnah is saying they are not part of the 15 because they'll need Chalitza. Meaning, unlike Rav's case and Ravasi's case, that we're excluding and we're saying there is even a mitzvah of Yibum. In the next two cases, there is not going to be a mitzvah of Yibum, rabbinically. Or, we'll see each case as it comes along. And therefore, it's going to be a different kind of exclusion. It's going to be excluding them from the Mishnah, because the Mishnah says no Yibum, no Chalitza, necessary. And in the two cases we're going to bring up, no Yibum, but Chalitza is necessary. And therefore, it's not like Rav and Ravasi that we disagree with the whole premise and we say there's a mitzvah of Yibum and Chalitza. We're saying in these two cases we agree that there's no Yibum. But the Mishnah is telling us that there is Chalitza. And we're going to have to take each case and we'll leave it Merit Hashem for tomorrow. Merit Hashem tomorrow morning. Everybody should have a wonderful day.
You too.